This is Sound and Vision on KEXP. The band Soundgarden got its name from a sonic sculpture on the shores of Lake Washington. This sculpture has wind vanes that sing when the wind blows through it. It's called a sound garden. Today in Sound and Vision, producer Sam J. Leeds takes us back in time to another more hidden wind instrument in the region.
In the Pacific Northwest, the weather is very much its own character. So it makes sense that a sound garden isn't the only instrument played by the wind.
We take wind for granted. You know, nobody really pays a lot of attention to wind.
The way the wind talks, you know, it's not constant. It's like, you know, up and down, up and down.
We gave it a voice.
The notes sound like the deep notes of an organ.
I mean, you really had an opportunity for the wind to tell you something.
These are the voices of Bainbridge Island neighbors who are describing the music of the Puget Sound wind harp, a 23-foot tall instrument that stood on a bluff overlooking Agate Pass on Bainbridge Island. When the wind blew through, it vibrated across the strings of the harp, making it sing.
As you approached it from coming down the hill, you didn't see the harp part. You saw the little building. And it was essentially a pyramid, a tall, narrow pyramid. And it had a little door. The sides of the box were done with cedar shingles, almost as if it grew out of the land.
This is Mickey Molnar.
Also Michelle Molnar, but everybody calls me Mickey. I was married to Ron Konzak, who was the creator of the wind harp.
Before he passed away in 2008, Ron played in several folk bands all across the Sound and built all sorts of instruments, a bass, harps, sitars. And Mickey said Ron got the inspiration to make the wind harp after a performance he did on one of his smaller harps.
And he'd set the harp down and the wind was blowing and he heard it play.
He was inspired to make something much bigger.
He just liked to do outrageous things, I think. He had a good sense of humor. One of his favorite sayings was, "Silliness is next to godliness."
So dreaming up a giant harp, it was just the kind of thing Ron did. And even though it eventually looked like it sprung out of the earth fully formed, it would take a community to bring Ron's creation to life. In the winter of 1984, Ron started bending and gluing layers of wood for the neck of the harp. A neighbor contributed the supporting vertical beam, which was a 23-foot tall Douglas fir pole. Two friends helped pour the concrete foundation, and another 15 helped construct the sound box.
Getting the neck and the pillar in place was definitely a group effort.
At the end of summer, Ron finally felt ready to assemble the pieces of the harp out on the bluff. He chose this location because he said it was already a musical place, with the sounds of waves breaking and seagulls crying. In preparation for assembly day, Ron invited the whole neighborhood with these yellow construction paper invites that read, "It's going up, bring picnic lunch, bring music." But even after he sent out the invites, Ron still wasn't exactly sure how it would all come together.
They did work it out to eventually hoist it with heavy rope. And there's a picture of Ron nailing it together at the top once they got it in place. It was one of those things, you know, you build this giant harp and is it going to work? Can you even get it together? Did you measure everything right? Is the neck going to actually slide down into the place it's supposed to rest in at the very top? And it did. And everybody cheered.
A few days later, he strung the harp with steel cables from a surplus Boeing sail. Then he had to wait for the wind. But when the wind started to blow,
nothing happened. They'd be sitting there in good, strong wind and he couldn't hear a thing. And so he and Ed Hageman, who was the engineer that helped him, were very disappointed.
Ron and Ed thought maybe the wind needed something more substantial to vibrate against.
He got those banding wire that they use like to wrap lumber flat, like a noodle, like a, you know, fettuccine, essentially, about the same thickness, actually.
And when a strong gust came through in October of 84, Ron and his friend heard the wind's voice for the first time.
And it usually took a strong north wind to catch the strings the right direction, just the way that it was oriented pretty much directly to the west. Sometimes you almost get a glissando effect of wind going, you know, sort of thing. And the nice thing about it was totally unpredictable.
It sat there out on the bluff, playing these low, deep notes out across the water. On especially windy days, the sound traveled up the hill and into the neighborhood.
First time you hear it, you go, what is that? And then you open the door and it's much louder.
This is Winnie Jones. She moved just up the hill and a few houses away from the harp in the early 90s.
When the wind harp was fully functional.
Winnie could hear it from her house. And on the days that the wind called out, she'd pour herself a glass of wine and walk down the hill.
You could climb in up a ladder, and inside up top was a little platform. And you could sit on the platform, and you're literally inside the sound box. The whole thing just vibrated. It's really magic. I mean, when you think that you could be inside a guitar. Put your little body down between the strings and go right inside the guitar.
How long would you stay when you'd visit it?
Till I needed another glass of wine. Until I come up and get another glass of wine.
You'll hear the vibrations through your body, through your bones, your skeletal system.
John Lunn learned about the harp from a contractor friend. And since he lived only a few miles away on Bainbridge, he'd go visit pretty often.
It's like an instrument of the wind, you know? The wind talked through the instrument. It's like, I guess, a person's soul would talk.
Some lucky people who went out to see the harp said they saw whales and orcas in the water below the cliff. Once, John spotted a whole pod of orcas under the bluff.
Yeah, it was amazing. Once I saw 13 of them out there just frolicking, going up and down, diving, and just going in circles. It was almost like a meditation. And then to see the wildlife respond to it, it was kind of marveling.
Word slowly got out, and Mickey told me visitors would sometimes just show up and knock on their door. Some even flew in to visit it. Back before the wind harp was built, Mickey and Ron had become friends with a Buddhist monk from Japan who had come to Bainbridge to build a peace pagoda. And when he came back to visit them, of course,
he wanted to see the wind harp. He came over and it was a beautiful day, but it wasn't windy at all. No wind. And so Ron was very apologetic. And, oh, you're here and it's really too bad. You came all the way to Japan and have all day since there's no wind. And he just smiled. He said, well, let's go see the harp. So we went to walk down the hill, went into the harp and sat down. And it started to play. This was a magical man, this monk, Hanawa. He smiled, and he liked it. He liked it very much. It played for him, for sure.
Mickey and Ron eventually moved away from where the harp was located, and with them gone, it started to fall apart. Winnie Jones stayed in the neighborhood, though.
And it didn't take too long before woodpeckers started coming and going in into holes of it.
And as the woodpeckers went to work, so did the weather.
When it got cold in the winter and then warmed up and so forth, it ended up snapping these strings.
By the time I went out to see it in 2021, the harp didn't sing anymore, and the grass and brambles hid the sound box from view. They were so thick, I even had to ask neighbors to point me and the friend I dragged along with me in the right direction.
Hi.
Hi.
I just have a question for you. I am looking for the wind harp.
You're looking for the what?
The wind harp.
Oh,
it's right down there.
Yeah, oh, it's down here.
It's right down there.
As we walked down along the overgrown path, there was a light breeze playing in the grass, and the sounds of the birds and bugs filled the air. And then we rounded a corner and...
They were so young.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, it's right there. Oh, wow.
There it was.
Oh, look, there's a trail that goes all the way down. Oh, wow.
The top of this 23-foot-tall structure, poking up above the trees and overgrowth. Standing there, I looked up and up until it was just the point of the pyramid and the blue of the sky. Around the side of the sound box overlooking the cliff, the strings hung in these curly-cue messes, like unspooled tape.
Look, there's kayakers going by.
There was still this energy to the place. This feeling of something electric and special.
You know, there's something about an island. One of my favorite descriptions of that is the beginning of Michener's Hawaii, where he talks about the birth of the island underwater as a volcano and how it fights its way to the top. You know, this constant war between the sea and the land, essentially, each one trying to win.
In the story of the wind harp, after the woodpeckers and the weather had their way, the sea took its turn, too. In 2021, only a few months after I'd visited, a developer tore down the harp because the weight of it was starting to cause the cliff it was on to crumble into the sea. After decades, the harp that looked like it sprung from the earth had returned to it.
I wish they wouldn't have torn it down. Oh, well, the people that did get to enjoy it will have fond memories.
Before he and Mickey moved away, years ago, Ron made a recording. That's what's been playing throughout this story. Listening to it is kind of like hearing a recording of a live concert. You can close your eyes and almost imagine yourself there, but it's not quite the same.
I mean, time is meaningless when you're sitting there. You're just waiting for the next one. You're waiting for that next little riff.
Even on the tape, though, there is that feeling of hearing something timeless, something letting us know it was always there. For KEXP's Sound and Vision, I'm Sam J. Leeds. Oh, and by the way, in case you're feeling inspired, Mickey still has the blueprints that Ron drew up for the harp.
So if somebody wants to build one, we talk to me.
That was Sound and Vision from KEXP. KEXP is a publicly funded radio station based in Seattle, and it is our fall fund drive where we remind you that KEXP is publicly funded. The majority of our funding we do comes from listeners. So we're asking, please help support shows like Sound and Vision with a donation at kexp.org/sound. And while you're there, check out our KEXP t-shirts and sweatshirts. You can get some swag if you donate. If you don't have the means to give right now, you can also help support the show by spreading the word about it. Share a favorite episode with a friend. Subscribe to this podcast. Rate it. Review it. Sound and Vision is made possible with human support, and you being a supportive human right now would mean so much. But most of all, thanks for listening.